You know, I believe that God still wants us in some ways, to be children. Why did he say that? For of such is the kingdom of God. What do you think he meant by that? When he sat a little one on his lap and he said, forbid them not to come to me. For of such is the kingdom of God. In what ways are we to probably continue to still be like children? Anyone have a thought about it? I know you do. What seems to be easy for children to do? I heard that. I'm listening for something else. Quick to forgive. That's what I was listening for. Quick to forgive. What happens when you're not quick to forgive? What happens when you're not quick to forgive? What happens when the sun goes down on your wrath? Your anger becomes what? Bitterness. Bitterness. Some people have bitterness in their life because they didn't learn how to forgive. They've never forgiven. And if you can't forgive, God can't forgive you, and you'll be going to hell. No matter how many times you face a church or come into church and do everything that church people do, if you haven't learned to forgive, you're going to hell. Forgive one another as what? I have forgiven you. That's the part that we need to be like children. I'm not preaching about that. That's another message. That's another one. So turn in your Bibles to Psalms. This message really blessed my soul. Really spoke to my heart. Of all the messages in the 30 years that I've been ministering, I think this is one of the best messages I've ever shared, and I don't think you've ever heard it. This is the first time. I've never shared this message. And it really thrilled my heart and blessed my soul. How many of you have some keys with you? Do you have a set of keys with you? If you do, put them up. How many of you have a set of keys? Now, my car actually don't have a key, per se. It has one of them little boxes that you open up the trunk and the windows with. But that key has to be in the car in order for the car to start. I have a push button. But that little thing has to be in the car. So what's a key do? Key gets you in places that are locked, aren't they? This morning, I want to share with you some keys that's going to unlock some mysteries of God's word so that it will release God's power in your life. I got some exciting things that's in the making. I was in Muncie last night, was attending a graduation party for my nephew, and my brother-in-law, Robert Lauber, has been a pastor for quite some time. And he has many in his church that operate in the gifts of the Spirit. It's something that God's been laying on my heart to share with you. I was just waiting for God's timing. I've grew up with it all my life. But I know that I think it's time for you to experience some wonderful things that God has for you. Could you imagine if I was one of those that was using the gift of knowledge, for example, and I've been looking out over the congregation and you've never seen me before? I'm a stranger. But of course, I'm not a stranger to God. God knows who I am because God gave me the gift. And he can give anybody a gift if you ask. But I have the gift of knowledge, and you can read it. I'll share it with you before we have it happen in the church. And we'll go to the 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and we'll look at those. Nothing to be scared of, nothing spooky. In fact, it's very encouraging. I'll tell you what's encouraging, and I've seen it here. is when God lays a message on my heart and I start talking about things in your life that happened this week to you. And now you know that only you and God know it. Because nobody told me. But God knows. And I happen to talk exactly about that. What's it do to you? It encourages you. It just overwhelms you with this feeling of love that God loves me so much. I'm special to him. He's busy and he has a lot of things to do, but I know I'm special to him because he singled me out today and he left me know that he knows all about me and everything that I'm going through. And I can tell you that was a real encouragement to me. So I have this dear brother that I've known for years. We went to Bible college together. He's a little older than I am, probably somewhere around Tony's age. I said Tony because this dear brother spent time in Vietnam like Tony did. And he has quite a testimony. But God also gave him the gift of knowledge. And he can look at any one of you and God can lay you on his heart and he'll say, you, this is what God has for you. And he starts telling you, and as he starts talking to you, the tears roll down your cheeks because you know only God knows that. Only he knows about that. Now, it's nothing to be scared about because God loves you. God would never embarrass you. Never. And if he did, I can tell you that's not from God. That didn't come from him. That's how I know. Now, I'm just going to share this. Just a little bit of a preparatory for you. 30 plus years ago, at least 30 years ago, I shared this with a dear friend of mine. He was having problems in his relationship. I've known him for a number of years. His wife were scrapping, and his father owned a business. He was involved in the business. And I just, in conversation, told him, I said, well, brother, why don't you just come to the church? Because the church I was going to moved in the gifts of the Spirit. I said, why don't you just come and God will talk to you. He'll help you with your marriage. He'll tell you some things and encourage you. And all of a sudden, he got kind of white. I thought, brother, you don't need to be afraid of it. I'm telling you, God's did this in my life. And I've said it's the greatest and one most wonderful thing. It was encouragement to me. It encouraged me. It strengthened me. I was so happy. But you know, he was involved in some things that I didn't know about. His father owned a business and he was working for his daddy. And for a number of years, he was embezzling money from him. He was taking money out of the business. Now, I didn't know that, but God knew it. And God knew that this son had to make things right with his dad because God was going to call his daddy home. His daddy was going to die, and God was going to call him home. And you know, that's something the boy had to take care of while he was living. Can you imagine if the boy wouldn't have taken care of that and his daddy would have died before he had a chance to tell his daddy that he'd been stealing from him? He'd had to live with that the rest of his life, carry that guilt and shame. But because I just shared with him that God would speak to him, he decided it was time to clean house. And it had to start with him. And he went and he confessed to his dad and got things squared away. And God did speak to him that time he came to church that Sunday. God spoke to him. And I saw the tears run down his cheeks. But I didn't know all that stuff was happening in his life. But God knew it. God knew exactly all that was happening. God knows exactly what's happening in all of your lives. And he loves you. He loves you very much. Long story short, I just told this brother as we were in the backyard and we were partaking of the food there. I said, "Brother, I said, I'd like to have you come down to my church sometime and share your gift with my people." Brother Roger said, "I'd love to do that." He said, "It's interesting that you should ask me." He said, "The Lord's been prodding me to get more involved and doing more. I've been kind of sitting back and not really getting involved." And he said, "The Lord's really been prodding me to try to, you know, stir up that gift that's in you. Remember the portion of scripture, stir that gift up that's in you. People have gifts. Every one of you have gifts. Every one of you have gifts. You're looking at me like, me? Yes, you. You all have gifts, and they're special gifts, and you need to be using them. You all have them. We need every one of you, because you have a special gift to share with everyone in here. You have it. And you've been using it. A lot of you have been using your gifts. You just need to be stirred up a little bit." So, "Well, Brother Roger, when you want this to happen?" I said, "Probably in October and everybody's done vacationing." And the summer's over and kids are back in school and, you know, everybody that should be here should be here. You follow me? You got me? All right. But he'll come and he'll share his testimony. He has a wonderful testimony. And then you'll be in prayer. Is there something that you want God to talk to you about? And you're saying, "Well, Brother Roger, you scare me to death." You don't need to worry. He won't call you. He won't call on you. He really won't. Because he's kind. The Holy Spirit's kind. But I really know that you'd be blessed. I know it. Just really would be blessed. All right, let's get to the message. That's in the making. We're working on that. We're working on that. I'll just be blessed because I'll tell you, each and every one of you will be blessed as he calls on people and as he begins to share things about that. You're going to know that person. And you might know a few things that he'll share, and that's what really going to bless your heart. It'll really bless you because you already know that. But here's a fellow that's never been to this church. He's never seen you. And that's really what makes it important. Because that's the Holy Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. And I've seen it. But understand this. God's word is a sure word of prophecy. Did you catch what I said? God's word is a sure word of prophecy. Like I said, I've known some people, they just travel all over the place, all over the world, trying to get after this. And God has it here in our midst. We could experience it every Sunday if we'd want to. If we just stir that gift up that's within you, you have it. You're not using it. Now let me explain one more thing. I was attending a service, a church service such as that. Brother Bill Hammond has a big concert like a seminar he's going to have down in the Hershey, Lancaster area. He is moved immensely with the gifts of the Spirit. He was in contact with Billy Graham. Him and Billy Graham were on the phone and talking. And Johnny Cash, if you remember, later on in Johnny Cash's life, he really got his life turned around. You know, he had still had some wild songs, but he did get to know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. He was involved in the same type of ministry as what I was involved in. You could get ministry through internet, and you could get your diploma through the internet. I remember Brother Hammond telling Billy to get his the right way. He received an honorary doctorate, but he was teasing him about getting his the right way, you know, through study. But anyway, long story short, Brother Bill Hammond was speaking, and he told everybody to stand up after he was speaking. He said, "Now, you people thinking that you don't have a gift, I said, I can tell you that every one of you can have the gift of prophecy today, right now." And he told us all to stand up. We all stood up. He said, the first word that comes to your mind, when it does, I want you to turn around to the one behind you and say it. So we did that. You know what my word was? And I said it to the one behind me. And you know who was behind me? I may remember Brother Raymond Troyer. We used to give mission money to. There was a while, there was a time we were, church was supporting him. Then he came off the mission field and he got involved in a Bible school as a teacher, an instructor. He sat behind me. My word to him was, stay. I said, does that mean anything to you? Don't mean a thing to me. That word doesn't mean a thing to me. But does it mean anything to you? And he said, yes, it does, Brother Roger. Thank you. I don't know what anybody else said. I didn't care. But that morning, we all turned around and said one word to the person behind us. Right there. It's amazing how God can work. God's special. He does a wonderful, wonderful thing. Wonderful. So now we're looking at verse 14. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. And he will show them his covenant. Now I believe that God carefully chose this word secret that's used here in this passage. In the Hebrew, it means to be alert, to be on the lookout, to watch, to be a confidant. A confidant. Confidant. I have trouble saying that word. I know what it means. A confidant means someone that's a bosom friend, a close friend that you can talk to. You all have a friend that you can really talk to about anything. Now, a confidant means that you can talk to them and they'll, if you tell them to keep their mouth shut, it's just you're sharing it with them, they'll do that. That's a true friend. Now, you got to be careful because some people are like newspapers. If you want the world to know it, that's who you tell them to. It shouldn't be that way. The Bible has a word for those. Be alert. God has a secret that he will share only with believers. We all here today should have a deep hunger to know God's heart. The Lord does not share his secret with just anybody. Even within the body of Christ, among the 12 disciples, who were three of those that Jesus pulled aside still and talked to more than any of the others. Three I'm thinking of. Anybody think of those three that the Lord picked out of the 12 that he shared things with that he didn't share with the other ones? How about the Mount of Transfiguration? Can you tell me? Peter, James, and John. There was three out of the 12 that he chose to share things with. In one other time, and this goes with the parable that we had today in the Sunday school lesson. The parable, why, they said, the disciples came to him and says, why? Why? Disciples came, verse 10. Of chapter 13 of Matthew. You don't need to turn there, but I just want to say this before I get back to my main lesson. The disciples came and said, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. Back to the keys. The keys unlock mysteries. Mysteries of his covenant. It says he will show them his covenant. Now, Don't let covenant scare you. Covenant's just another word for testament. So what the term I'll be using is covenant today. But when I say covenant, I'm referring to the New Testament, okay? The New Testament. We have the Old and the New Covenant. The Old and New Testament. Here in Psalms, he's referring to the Testament as a covenant. As a covenant, he's referring to it as a New Testament as a covenant. I'm going to say this as kindly as I can. Only a handful of Christians will grasp this lifeline. I believe that the secret of this new covenant is a lifeline that that he puts toward every Christian, every one of us. He calls out to every child that's bound by a lust or a habit or an evil stronghold, and he says, lay hold of my covenant. It'll be a lifeline to you, providing an escape before you're swept away. But there's only a few Christians will grasp this lifeline. There will be some that can memorize all the wonderful promises we have in the New Covenant or New Testament. They can talk about all the covenants from Adam to the New Testament, but there still will only be a few that will diligently seek the Lord to understand his new covenant. Now, here's a few of the promises that God has given us through this new covenant or the New Testament. A new heart, a righteous fear of God, dominion over sin, Holy Ghost mortification of all sin, a heart to know the Lord, his law that's written within our hearts so we'll not sin against him. He also pledges that we will be taught by his own Holy Spirit, will be caused to walk in his ways and do his good pleasure, all through the power of the Holy Ghost. I remember my grandpa always sharing with me, talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. In his testimonies, he would share about the power of the Holy Spirit in his life. It almost seemed that every testimony he ever gave was about the power of the Holy Spirit. You might say, well, Pastor, if God has decreed this new covenant, and if he has sworn an oath to do these marvelous and wonderful things, and his word is unchangeable, why should I pray for what he's already decreed? Why should I ask him to deliver me when he has already pledged to do for me what I can't do for myself? Shouldn't I just wait on him in faith? If his covenant promises are binding, why should I believe that there are conditions that are attached? So what are these conditions? And so in response, I want to ask you this. Why would Jesus, who made the New Testament or the New Covenant with his Father, why would he be praying diligently, as he often did? When he wasn't teaching, he wasn't preaching, he wasn't sharing parables, what was he doing? Praying. Didn't have TV to watch. He was praying. When he wasn't teaching, he was praying. Jesus prayed always, always praying. In fact, he asked the Father 3 times for an answer to a single matter. And then that brings me to our Sunday school lesson today. Why would he praise a woman in a parable who kept pestering a judge until she got the verdict she wanted? Why did the Lord make recognition of that? Why did he even bring that up? Because I want to prove to you in the next few minutes that God has hung the secret of this new covenant upon this condition. And the condition is this: seeking him with all of your heart. That's the condition. Seeking him with all of your heart. Remember reading the Old Testament? With all my heart, body, and soul. All of it. All of it. How many times do we give our all to Jesus? Are you giving your all? Are you all out for him? Or do you have some things in your life that you're holding back on? You don't want to give that over to them. I could preach a message on, where art thou? He said to Adam. Where art thou, Adam? Where art thou you today? Where are you today? Where art thou? Are you with me? Or if you're still with me, put your hand up. Okay, you're still with me. Good. I'll try to get right on moving here. And along with seeking him with all your heart, there's some other disciplines that go with that, such as prayer, Bible study, and diligently seeking. But in all this, it cannot in any way merit the new covenant promises for us. Why? Because God gives us them to us by what? Grace alone. It's not works of righteousness, lest any man would boast, but by grace alone. So we see this pattern. Now I'm going to get into my message. We see a pattern throughout the Bible that God says, I give you these promises, but I want you to seek my face until you are fully persuaded of them. In the first example, we have many throughout the Bible of godly men and women who have fasted and prayed throughout the years, holding the Lord to his word. And we have several examples of this. My first example is Jacob. Jacob was given a sure word of promise by God through the Abrahamic covenant. The Lord had promised to be his shield, so no one could harm him. Furthermore, God had assured him to return to your country and to your family, and I will deal well with you. Genesis chapter 32:9 is the scripture verse that says, return to your country and I will deal well with you. What powerful promise. Who could ever oppose a man like this whose God was with him like Jacob? Jacob was compelled to still to pray. Listen to his prayer. Verses 10 and 11 of Genesis chapter 32. He cried out, Lord, you promised to deal well with me if I returned. Now I am holding you to that promise. And the scripture tells us that Jacob wrestled all night with an angel of the Lord. He told the Lord, I will not let you go unless you what? Sunday school teachers, remember? You bless me. I won't let you go until you bless me. Verse 26. He was holding the Lord to his covenant, as each and every one of us should. Hold the Lord to his covenant. The second example is Jesus himself. Jesus not only knew the covenant that he had made with the Father, he was the new covenant personified. Jesus was the new covenant personified. All the covenant promises resided in him, and yet Jesus himself fasted and what? Prayed. He fasted and he prayed. There was a group of desperate people that brought a demon-possessed lunatic young man to Jesus one day. His disciples weren't able to cast out this demonic spirit. When Jesus rebuked the devil, the demon immediately left the young man. The Bible says the child was cured from that very hour. Matthew 17:18. Jesus' disciples were perplexed. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? So Jesus said, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by what? Two things, prayer and fasting. Matthew 17:19-21. So I want you to think of the implications here that what Jesus is saying. He's inferring that if his disciples would have spent time in prayer and fasting, they would have had both the faith and the power for the boy to be delivered. He also implied, yes, I have the power to cast out this demon because I'm God in flesh. But I've also set an example for you through my prayer and fasting. Yes, he did. So what's the secret God wants to share with his people? It isn't some supernatural rush of supernatural power that would enable us to resist some overwhelming temptation. But you see, it's God's still, small voice revealing his love to us in the midst of our failings and our testings in our life. Isn't that beautiful? It's his still, small voice. A pastor received this letter. It was marked on the letter, "Moral Weakness and Failure," from a dear sister in Christ. She wrote, "Moral weakness and failure, that's me. I continually go back to my old sins. I don't want to hurt my Lord, and I pray for him to keep me from going back. But there's times I feel he's tired of my failing in this same area all the time. But the truth is, I never hear from him in the midst of my temptation, and I feel so alienated, so isolated, so alone." So in contrast, the same pastor received another letter. This one was an email from a young man in Christ. The young man said, "Last night I was in prayer. I was experiencing great anguish in my soul. I had failed my Lord and sinned. My heart was breaking inside. I cried before him, but all I could think of was that I had gone too far. I asked him, 'How can you still love me? Do you, Lord? Or have I gone too far?' I cried out for just a single word from him to let me know that he still loved me. And then, of course, in God's perfect timing, I turned to the passage of Scripture of keeping myself in the love of God. How overwhelmed and awed I was by the love of the Lord as I read it. I immediately repented. My heart was flushed with God's love. It made me love him so much more." This young man stands, and he stands in the awe of God's love. His love for Jesus has now grown deeper. Why? Well, you see, when it seemed that Satan had won the battle and he received a revelation of God's forgiving love and restoring grace in the midst of his failure. How often have you failed God miserably? And in the midst of it, God was there. He was there to show you that he loved you very much and you're special. And the new covenant promises that God will show us mercy, even in the midst of iniquities and unrighteousness. The Lord has always been merciful. So what's different in the New Testament? You see, God shows us his mercy. He sends his Spirit to empower us with the revelation of the Almighty God. And almighty he is, and how awesome he is. His loving kindness happened in the very lowest part of our life. You remember when the lowest part of your life was? I look out and I know that when some of the lowest part of your life was. I know a brother shared with me when it was his lowest part. And God was there. Even while he felt like he was sinking in guilt and shame and failure, he was there. But I'm convinced, in closing, that we have yet to understand how amazing God's grace is to us. I want to put before you a Christian who has loved the Lord for years. He's praying. He is a praying, faithful believer. He has a gentle spirit. He has a sweet presence of Jesus all about him. Suddenly, this godly saint is overwhelmed by a powerful temptation. He yields to it. And suddenly, he's drawn back into an old besetting sin. Perhaps his bondage is an outburst of anger. Or maybe just lukewarmness. Or maybe other gross sins. Maybe he used to be an alcoholic and he's drawn back into drinking again. Maybe it was fornication or adultery. The devil quickly attacks this Christian. And he uses the only real power that he has against him, his lies. The devil's good at lies. He tries to convince the believer that he has sinned against the light. He has sinned too often after being convicted for so long. He has sinned one too many times. He has crossed the line, and it's now beyond God's mercy. The devil ever tried to do that with you? He had with me. Try to tell you it's too late. You've done it too often. He doesn't love you. But the devil's a liar. He's a liar. God loves you. Can you think of anything you can do that God would stop loving you? Let me ask you this, for your children. Could your children do anything for you to quit loving them? What's your answer? No. Then you got the answer you needed to hear. God loves you that much. He loves you that much. He'll never give up on you. He loves you that much. Whew. This is a crucial point. You see, where the secret of the New Testament, or the covenant, as I referred to, is revealed. You see, instead of condemning that Christian, the Holy Spirit woos him and says, come back. Come back to the sprinkling of Jesus' blood. Repent and accept your forgiveness. Stay in the love of God. You are forgiven unconditionally. Return now and walk with me. You see, the Holy Ghost is at work and is revealing the love of God to each and every one of us, causing us to marvel at the Lord's mercy and his grace. And in doing so, he's drawing us closer and closer to a greater love for him. It's that keeping power of the Holy Ghost when you're down and you're hurting, when you think you've crossed the line and it's all over for you. The Spirit comes in immediately to lift you and to bring you back into God's grace. Every bit of your sin has been paid for, no matter how awful it may be. Jesus paid the price in full. And God said, I am going to be merciful to you. And I've sent my Son to you as the seal of my covenant. Your fear tells you, you have every right to be damned. But my covenant says my Son took upon himself everything that would ever condemn you. And you are now free. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This is what the covenant's about. It's God's love message to us. I love you so much. He went to the cross for you. I will never let the devil have you. I won't let him take over your life, even when you failed me. It's impossible for you to ever stray too far from my love. There is no place in heaven or earth that you can escape that my love is not there with you. Ooh, think about it. Where could you go without God's love? He's always there. You can't escape it. Look at Jonah. The depths of the sea, God's love was still there with him. Whoo, whoo, hallelujah, hallelujah. So the secret of the Lord is a life-freeing revelation of his loving kindness to us. At the point of our failures, the Holy Spirit is there. Nothing can separate us from the covenant of love of God. He is not mad at you. Get your eyes off of your sin and receive that free access that you still have to the Father through the cross of Jesus Christ. The secret is your Savior wants you to rejoice and be glad because your past, your presence, and your future sins have been taken away. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah to the Lamb.